Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So we became intrigued with a story in Florida about a man who was accused of choking his girlfriend to death. And he was accused of, or he was charged with second-degree murder. And he went through the trial this past week. And we were intrigued because his defense, at least it seemed like the defense, was going to have to do with size.
Correct.
He was saying that there was a certain sex act that happened, and that the size caused the choke.
I mean, it's a tragic story. A woman passed away.
Right. And it's a horrible story.
And we tracked down the attorney, Richard Padowitz, a couple weeks ago prior to the trial.
Right before it.
And he didn't want to give us too many details because you never want to expose your defense strategy. And I believe we've tracked him down.
It's not Richard.
Oh, sorry.
It's not Richard Padowitz.
It's Ken.
Ken
Padowitz. Did you say Ken?
Yeah. I said Richard.
Okay. Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I was speaking in so
Richard,
much code. Right.
Richard Patterson was the client.
Yes, yes. Sorry.
So you're just crossing them up.
But anyway, Ken Padowitz is nice enough to join us again. Congratulations on winning the trial, first of all, Ken.
Thank you very much for having me on. As you mentioned, it's a horrible tragedy, and my heart goes out to the family and people that cared about this woman who died. It's a terrible situation. But in terrible situations, we don't want to make them worse by actually accusing someone of a crime and then potentially putting them in prison for the rest of their life if they're not guilty of a crime. And that's what, in fact, occurred here.
Well, that's very understandable. One thing that jumped out at us, and we don't know all the details, is part of your defense strategy, I guess, was the autopsy and not knowing definitively how the woman died. But it seemed to be that there was a lag time of when she died and when the body was recovered. How much time passed?
It was about 24 hours, and the reason for that is my client is not a doctor. He's a handyman. He works as a handyman at an apartment complex. And the last thing he did with his girlfriend was an intimate sexual act. He went to the bathroom. He was there for about 20 minutes. He came back, and he found his girlfriend deceased. And not being a doctor, he thought, incorrectly, but he thought that she must have died during their sex act. And based upon that, he became despondent, the humiliation of having to try to explain to family and friends that that's how she died. And he took a vial of pills that were found literally right next to the bed, right next to the body, which were sleeping pills, which uh-huh. could kill you. He tried to take those pills, spit up some of them, and literally passed out for next to her body in the bed for that 24-hour period. And it's
so
not only
on.
Supported
Did he
by the
try
empty
to
pill
kill
bottle.
Himself? Did he try to kill himself, or he just wanted
yes.
to go to sleep?
Sounds like that was the intention. Yeah.
No, he tried to kill himself, and then proven by the government's own evidence that he did a search. He did a search right around that time period on the internet on how to kill yourself. So they have those records. Mm. And then the next day, 24 hours later, when he calls the state star witness, this woman named Holly Graf, she describes him as being disoriented. Which
right.
Dr. Wright, the medical examiner, the former chief Broward County medical examiner who testified for the defense, testified you would be potentially disoriented from taking a number of those sleeping pills.
Well, I don't doubt he did that, but wouldn't that be the common reaction of someone that just killed somebody? I would want to kill myself.
It could be the common reaction of someone who killed someone. It could be the common reaction of someone who was despondent and upset the fact that their love died and trying to explain the humiliating way that he thought she died, and that's why he went ahead and
so
did
what
that. If you're guilty of a crime, you don't get taken to a lawyer when you wake up. You don't get taken to a lawyer and force your lawyer, which happens to be me, to call the police on yourself. That's what happened here. He actually forced his lawyer, me, to turn over evidence, keys, and a cell phone of the young lady to the police. So, guilty people don't force their lawyers to turn things over to the police against themselves.
Right, right. I want to get into the sort of the big dong defense, kind of what we called it here. And that's what you thought, and he had claimed that this could have possibly caused this. Your medical examiner, though, right, or one of your witnesses, at least maybe, in court, out of court, kind of debunked that theory, right? And then you had to kind of change your strategy. Is that fair or not?
No, not at all. My strategy was always the same. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm a former homicide prosecutor. I've done 35 first-degree murder trials, only lost one. I analyze this case very, very strictly based on my experience. All along, our strategy was that my client believed that oral sex, in fact, killed his girlfriend. But the reality was, and we knew it all along, that's what he believed, and so that was the context of his statements that she choked. And the jury had to understand that because that was the only evidence the government had. Their own medical witness said that they didn't know how she died. So the only evidence against him was his statements. If the jury understood that was the context of Richard Patterson's statements, that he believed that she died during oral sex, then Dr. Wright was the perfect witness when he came in and told the jury, look, he's not that crazy. It actually can occur. You can actually die this way, but it's very, very unlikely and very rare. And so I got up in my closing argument. There was no switch in tactics. I told the jury, it's not likely she died this way. She probably didn't. Dr. Wright testified she probably died of a heart attack. She had high cholesterol, and that's probably how she died. It's the government's burden of proof. They have to prove their case, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah. I got it.
Couldn't do it.
We're joined by attorney Ken Padowitz, who defended Richard Patterson successfully. He had been charged second-degree murder in the death of his 60-year-old girlfriend. There were apparently a couple of text messages, which I guess were statements against interest. Can you tell us about that? Because it seemed like from the outside, when you read that the person who's being accused of murder says, I choked my girlfriend to death, that that is a sign of guilt. How do you explain that away?
Yeah, that was not the statement. What the statement was, it's actually a text that he makes the next morning after Richard Patterson wakes up after taking these sleeping pills. He texts his daughter and says, I did something bad last night. Mm-hmm. This is goodbye, meaning he's going to kill himself, which is all consistent with this attempted suicide all along. The only word choke is only mentioned one time in a non-tape recorded statement to a woman named Holly Graff, who took him to my office. She found me as his lawyer.
Right.
And Holly Graff admitted that she was paraphrasing, that she doesn't have the greatest memory, and that it was something to the effect, quote unquote, that he choked her. Well, my client told me, I didn't say that to her. I told her she choked, Holly. She choked.
I got it. Here's a question, though. It seems pretty, I can understand why your client got off. Did they have any evidence that there was, like, fingerprints around her neck or, like, a rope around her neck, you know, something like that? Because if you said, you know, somebody choked, you would think that there would be some sort of device, right, that would cause that, or fingerprints, something like that, right?
Absolutely. And guess what? Zero evidence. There was no broken bone in her neck, which the doctor said you'd expect. There was no bruising to muscles that you would expect. There was no blood bursting in the eyes, which is called petechiae, which you would expect. It's actually positive medical evidence that she was not choked.
Right. Did you ever have to ask your client to show you his thing?
His private.
Because he claimed he thought that could have done it. I'm just curious.
Yeah, did he do that?
Yes.
He did.
What I did, I'm a professional. I'm a lawyer. And in the end, my client was facing life in prison. So I did everything I had to do legally and ethically to have the jury understand the evidence in here. So, yes, I had my client took photographs of himself.
Right.
I provided those photographs to the prosecutor. And we were prepared if we needed to show the jury whatever evidence they needed to understand what happened here. We didn't have to go there because the government was so deficient in proving its case, there was no need for my client to face that kind of humiliation.
Man, that's got to be awkward. Even as a defense attorney, you have to ask your client to do that.
Hey, listen, people in my law firm had post-traumatic stress disorder from having to, you know, to deal with this kind of information that normally you wouldn't have to in a law firm or a legal case. But, you know, we're professionals here.
Of course.
And the goal here was to make sure justice was done. And, you know, as tragedy as this is that someone died, it's a horrible thing. This man is not responsible. The government couldn't prove its case, and he should be a free man.
I hate to say, I don't mean this in a disparaging way. I really don't. Is your client, like, you say he's a handyman. Is he of average intelligence, above average intelligence? How would you describe him?
He's an average guy that is a handyman. He does electrical work and other work in the apartment complex. He's done it full time and part time. He's a grandpa. He's got two grandchildren and a father. I mean, he's just a regular guy. He's not a doctor.
He's not a doctor.
He jumped to a conclusion that was incorrect, and that was why he made certain statements.
He's got a hammer in his pants.
Yeah, he does. So, are you guessing that they had sex, and she just died of natural causes, essentially? That's probably what happened?
I think that's exactly what Dr. Wright, who is the former medical examiner of Vermont, he was the former chief medical examiner of Miami and the former chief medical examiner of Broward County. Yeah, that's what he said, that she most likely died of a heart attack. Hundreds of thousands of people die of a heart attack with high cholesterol every year in the United States, and it wouldn't necessarily be found during an autopsy.
And she definitely had high cholesterol.
She did. She definitely did. Dr. Wright testified. He looked at the medical records that she had high cholesterol.
Right.
I tell you what, man. If I ever get up into a bind,
get his number.
And I think you answered this question when we had you on the first time. There was never any history of violence in that relationship.
No history whatsoever. In fact, the prosecution, in a bumbling way, put on a next door neighbor about an argument that allegedly occurred a few days earlier, and she testified my client was calm and just sitting there and very relaxed, and that his girlfriend was a little bit excited and raising her voice a little bit. I mean, there's no motive in this case whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What was the motive? Did they give one?
None. Zero. No motive.
Yeah,
zero.
What did the jurors say? Did you talk to the jurors afterwards?
I did not get a chance to talk to them. They went out the back, but they were a brave, brave jury. When you have a body, it's a lot of pressure on a juror to come back with a verdict of guilty. And I think this jury was very, very brave and courageous. They followed the law. They made the state attempt to prove their case, and they couldn't do it, and they came back with the right verdict. And that's why our justice system is so great, because if people follow the law, we make sure that the system works.
Ken, we can't let you go without asking. Was he bluffing about his endowment?
No. There's no bluffing here. I mean, listen, Dr. Wright testified.
Yeah, the nuts.
He testified that all it takes for the male anatomy is 4 inches. 4 inches to choke someone.
Right.
Now, that's all. That was the minimum.
That's the stone cold nuts.
It's really funny. I mean, it's horrible that someone died, but it is kind of funny. You can understand that, can't you?
I understand why people find interest in this case, absolutely. But in the end, what the teaching moment is from this case is that justice, it may appear a little strange, it may appear a little odd, but when you listen to the actual evidence, you recognize the government could not prove its case, and the fair verdict in this case was a not guilty verdict, because Richard Patterson is not guilty.
What has been the local public? Are they outraged, or do they feel like justice was served?
I don't get any sense of outrage. I've had hundreds of people call me and congratulate me on this case and the verdict. And I think when people understand beyond the headlines, as you guys are doing, I mean, I thank you for educating the public as to what this case was about. Because when you hear the lack of evidence that the government had, the fact they couldn't even determine from their own medical examiner how she died, you understand why the right verdict by this jury would be not guilty. And I think an educated citizenry, you know, if they understand that the court system actually does work a lot of the times, that's a good thing.
How many radio interviews have you done since the verdict?
Believe it or not, not many. I've done a number of newspaper and television, but not radio. So you guys are probably the number one.
I love it. What's your next case? What do you got next? What's next up?
Believe it or not, I'm gonna sue United Airlines. I got a young man who was flying on United with a 5-year-old son. He had his hand on his son's leg because he was scared about flying, and they called the police on him. And had the police meet him at the gate because they thought he was doing something improper based on zero evidence. So I got that case, and I got the case against Spirit Airlines where they kicked off my young client because they thought her she was showing too much cleavage, and therefore they knocked her off.
Wow.
Cleavage.
Hey, can we see a pic of her?
If you go online to my website, you can see a picture.
All right. Hey, thank you, Ken.
I'm going to do that.
We appreciate it. We'll get you on again. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Call anytime.
Suing Airlines is big business.
That's my new guy right there, man.
He should be our dong expert.
He's our new guy.
We're coming up with a lot of things in the back here. Yeah. What do you think about getting Richard Patterson to the summer dress party.
Oh, jeez.
He would definitely show up.
You definitely extend an invite.
We should extend.
Extend an invite.
You think ladies? Ladies wouldn't flock to the summer dress party when the big dong guy's going to be there?
We could have a big dog booth. Raise money for charity.
Just to see it.
Sure.
We could try and bring back the horse contest.
I don't know.
We could do the horse contest. See if you're bigger than Richard.
So stupid.
So funny.
All right, coming up next, our pal Steve Sands from the Golf Channel.
Stevie.
Here on the Jux.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.